Brandon sent me a text yesterday and asked me what the sermon was about this morning. And when I told him, he texted me back a little bit later. He said, there's a lot of songs that go with that sermon. I don't always get that. Sometimes he says, do you have any suggestions? But we're going to continue looking at the book of Proverbs this morning. Last week, if you'll remember, we noticed verse 7 is the theme of the book. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. People are more likely to heed the counsel of God and Christ, according to this verse. Unlike fools who despise wisdom and instruction. And I know that may be a stretch, but that's going to take us into what Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 talks about. And we're going to talk about children listening to their parents. That's a good lesson, ain't it? It's one I wish I'd listened to more when I was younger. And I hope that as parents, you reflect back upon your parents and your grandparents and you think, boy, I wish I would have listened more. And now you want your children to listen to this lesson because you want them to listen more. And I'm not necessarily talking about the little bitty ones, although they need to listen, but the ones that are more apt to get our wisdom right now are young teenagers, maybe 10, 11 years old, who really are the ones that are going to rebel at this point and stage in their life. Maybe 10, 11 years old on up to 20, 30 something. They're the ones that really need to listen to the advice and the counsel of their parents. The proverb writer says in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Counsel that follows right after the admonition of fear God. Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In fact, the same word yara is used in other places in regards to parents and parenting, like Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. So this admonition that we read about here is to listen to your parents. And this admonition is repeated several times throughout the Bible, but especially here in this book of Proverbs, this book of wisdom that we're talking about. For example, we read in Proverbs 4 and verse 1. And it says, hear, my children, the instruction of your father. I remember growing up and thinking, my daddy don't know that much. You ever have that? And now, my daddy is 80 years old. And I'm thinking and talking to Marilyn yesterday, we're comparing notes on my father and her mother, who is 91, and we're thinking, life is really about to change for us in the next few years. And not necessarily in a way that we want. But her children try to get her mother to write down things that she remembers. My daddy has started writing things down, and I question what he's writing down. But there's going to come a day when I'm going to want to listen to the instruction of my father. My mother's been gone since 2014, and it used to irritate me that I was working for Cook's Pest Control, and I would be driving and doing and trying to work and everything, my phone would ring, and it would be Mama. I said, what do you need, Mama? Well, I just heard that so-and-so did this, or so-and-so just passed away, and I thought you'd like to know. And I'm thinking, this could have waited till I got off work. But now, as irritating as that was, I would give anything to ask her a question. And I know some of you are the same way. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20, my son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. You see, that's the job of the mother, is basically to teach the children while they're at home. It's her job to maintain that home, that family unit. He is to oversee it. He's ultimately going to be responsible for it, but it's her job basically to mold the family. We read in Proverbs 23 and verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. We need to consider some reasons why it's wise to listen to our parents based on what we see here in the book of Proverbs. Two main points. The first point is the wisdom that we have of listening to our parents. There are several reasons why there is wisdom in listening to mom and daddy. Now, I get it. Trust me, I've been there. I haven't always been this old and gray-headed. But I was in the position that some of you younger people are at one point in my life. I was getting ready to start high school at one time. I was thinking about going to college at one time. I went to the Army at one time. I got married one time, and I've had children, little bitty kids at one time. My son, it'd be hard to imagine him being a baby because he's 6'3 now. But it's hard to think that he was ever a little bitty thing that you'd be afraid to hold in your hands because you'd think he's going to drop him. I've been there. And some of you are coming into that point in your life to where you're getting ready to think about going to high school, maybe going to college or getting out of college and trying to figure out what career you're going to chase. But there's wisdom in listening to mama and daddy. They have knowledge. You may not think they do, but they have knowledge. Your parents know better than anyone where you are at in your life. They clothed you. And they used to change your diapers, believe it or not. Years ago, my name came up to be an elder. And one of the older men and women came and sat down on my couch and they said, we think you would make a good elder. She said, but my problem is, Jeff, I remember changing your diapers. And I'm thinking, never thought of that. But mama and daddy have changed your diapers when it's been the worst times. I remember changing my son's diaper the day he was born and in the hospital. That's the nastiest diaper I've ever changed, or one of the nastiest. I remember picking my oldest daughter up to hug her before going to work and being on time if it weren't for the fact that she threw up all down my back. So I had to change clothes. But I've been where you are. And so have your mama and daddy. They saw you grow up. They brought you home from the hospital. And they saw how you have responded in troubled times in your life. Maybe it's a boy that dumped you, or a girl that broke your heart. I've been there with my kids. I've been there myself. But they know you and your personality. Parents have the potential to provide better advice to you than anyone else. You don't want to talk to mom and daddy. You don't want to talk to granny and papa. But you would prefer to talk to some school buddy or some school friend to get advice from them. And chances are they may not even have a mom and daddy in the picture. Danny will tell you, and so will Miranda and Marilyn, we were in the band boosters with the high school for several years. I lost count of how many years we were in there. And it always bothered me to have these parents that never showed up for anything that their kids were doing. Never. We finally saw one set of parents, and it was their child's very last high school marching competition. Look at everything they've missed. Marilyn and I'm not saying we were perfect parents, me especially, but we were part of our kids' lives. I told Daniel at one time, I said, you got too much going on. I said, you got to give up something. He was in the scouts. He was playing baseball. He was in the band. And I told him, I said, something's got to go. So I left the decision up to him. But he made, I think, the wiser decision. He gave up baseball and pursued band and eventually gave up the scouts and kept pursuing band. And that's what he went to college to study. But unlike your high school teachers, your guidance counselors at school, and when you think about it, they only see you for a matter of minutes or an hour or so during the day. They don't know you like your mama, daddy, and grandparents who saw you the moment you come out of the womb. Your friends, they may be motivated to tell you what you want to hear, but that's not what you need to hear. No one has a better opportunity to know what you need than mama and daddy. So the proverb writer is correct. You need to listen to mama and daddy. They know what you need better than anybody else. So not only do they have knowledge in your wisdom to listen to them, but they have the experience. They've been where you are. You might think, well, you don't know what I'm going through. Yeah. I've had my heart broke by a little girl. And I've broke little girls' hearts, believe it or not. You may think, that ugly mug has broke a girl's heart. Yeah, at least one. But I've been through my trials in life. Wondered how I was going to put food on the table at times. Worked two jobs. I delivered pizzas for part of my lifetime as a young adult. Rented houses because I couldn't afford to buy one. I've been where some of you are. I feel like I have struggled in my life to get to the point where I am now. Your mom and daddy have been there too. I listen to my daddy now, and I try to retain everything that he tells me. And he tells me that when his daddy was starting his family, that they would move every spring because my granddaddy was a sharecropper. And he would move from one place to the next. Never had his own home because he had to rent from the man that he was farming for or milking cows for. They possibly have more experience and tougher experience in life than you do. But they've been where you are. They were young once, believe it or not. That's what we were talking about before services. Sister Collins was over here talking to Marilyn about playing basketball in high school, and I said all of Marilyn's brothers and sister, all her two brothers and her, played basketball in high school. That's about all that Unionville had, was a basketball team, and then it had a baseball team, and I said that's what I played. But all of us have to grow up, and we do things in life. I have been where my kids are right now. Your mom and daddy and grandparents have been where you are right now. They are now where you are headed. Your goal is to someday be old and gray-headed, you know it? You may not realize that, but that's your goal. And sometimes I think I got there quicker than I wanted. I remember when our oldest daughter, who adopted their first child and their second, she called me one day and she says, Daddy, what do you want to be called? You want to be called Papa? Papa Jeff? Grand? I said, I don't want to be called any of them. I said, I'm too young to be a grandfather. And then one day, I'm driving down a street in Murfreesboro and I get a text message. And I open up my phone, and there's a picture of that baby. I pulled off in a parking lot and cried my eyes out. Greatest moment in a man's life who didn't want to be a grandfather. But they know where you're headed if you live as long as they do. But here you go, Danny. This is the point. They're like drill sergeants sometimes leading their squads. Y'all remember Gomer Pyle? You remember Sergeant Carter? You ever felt like him as a mama and daddy? Oh, I have. And I know that my mama and daddy raising three boys, that's how they had to have felt. Actually, they probably felt more like this one. Growling Sergeant Carter. And sometimes I felt like Gomer Pyle. But they have survived what the new recruits have yet to experience. That's why they're the drill sergeants. They're there to teach. And that's why mamas and daddies are mamas and daddies. It's because you're just getting started and they were given to you by God. Our son Daniel came home from college one time and was sitting on the couch beside his mama, and he says, and Marilyn's talking about downsizing, getting a smaller house. He sits there and he frowns, and finally he says, "Well, where am I going to stay when I come home?" I said, "God gave you to us to teach you to live on your own." We must have done a good job. He don't ever come home. But you think about it. A private in the military, how foolish would it be for him to not listen to the drill sergeant? I mean, I'm reading a book at home right now about Athens, Tennessee, called The Fighting Bunch. And it was back during the day of when Tennessee had a big corrupt political machine. Started in the 20s, come through the 40s. And the soldiers who came back from World War II fought against the corrupt machine. But it intersperses throughout this book that they're going to basic training as Marines. And then they go to places like Guadalcanal. And you have to think that if the drill sergeant didn't drill into their head how to survive, they wouldn't have survived. They toughen them up. I lost, I think, 40 pounds in the first 3 months of basic training. Basic training, and then I went back for AIT. I come back through the airport, and Mama says, "I didn't recognize him. Didn't know who he was." But think about how foolish it is for children to not listen to their parents. Children with parents, listen to this. Children with parents are blessed to have advice from those who have traveled the same road that you're on right now. Only you can go much farther. So the wisdom that you listen to from your parents, not only because of their knowledge and their experience, but they have wisdom. Their own experience provides wisdom for you. Their wisdom often includes that of their parents, your grandparents. Just like my daddy talking about his daddy being a sharecropper. Most people eventually appreciate their parents' advice, but usually it's too late for them to tell their parents how much they appreciate it, or even their grandparents. The proverb writer says in Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 1, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live.'" You know, there have been great people in the history of the United States that have given credit to their mamas. George Washington is quoted as saying, "The greatest teacher I ever had was my mother." You know, I kind of agree with that. But the only thing I remember was giving grief to my mother. We had a scaffold where Daddy was going to kill hogs one time. And at the time, the thing seemed like it was like 30 feet tall. And me and the next brother down threw a rope over it, tied a loop in it, put a board in it, set the youngest one in it. We pulled him up and tied it off and walked off. I know I give my mama grief. And I know how I could always tell how bad the punishment was going to be. If she took care of it, I knew we got off pretty easy. But if it come out of her mouth, wait till your daddy gets home, I knew I had something to dread. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." If great men in our historical past attribute who they are to their mothers, what should we take from our mothers and grandmothers? Especially when their own kids are coming along. So parents often have the accumulated wisdom of several generations. I know it bothers Marilyn sometimes. She'll give advice to one of the girls and about the kids, the babies, and sometimes it's just like, whoosh, you know, right over the head. And it's like they don't want to listen. And it's almost like you can hear the wind blow through their hair. Because that's as far as it gets. They don't want to listen. So here they are, having a godly Christian mother a lot of times, and they don't want to listen. But they have studied, these mothers have, the inspired wisdom that has been passed down from many generations. So notice this. Their wisdom may also include the wisdom of God. You realize that? Your mother, your grandmother, who sits in that same pew every Sunday and takes you to services every Sunday and listens to the preacher, listens to the scripture reading, has got some godly wisdom because she's listening to God's word. And she wants to pass it on to you. Children with Christian parents, and I truly believe this, are blessed with wisdom from many sources. One of the things that Marilyn and I determined early on was that we wanted our children to marry Christians. And sometimes you're not going to find a Christian that they're interested in inside the church, the congregation where they grew up. So you're going to have to take them somewhere else. Where are you going to take them? Baseball games, football games, high school events, band competitions? Let me suggest to you that if you want your children to marry Christian, and it's not always going to work out, but you find a congregation somewhere else that's having a gospel meeting, and you go visit, and you take your children to visit gospel meetings, gospel singings. But children with Christian parents, you may not realize how blessed you are to have parents and grandparents who are Christians. Marilyn's listening to an audio book. I guess it's an audio book, if that's what you want to call it, but it's lessons on things like the book of Daniel, Zechariah, and I forgot what the other one is, or Revelation. But there's a section in there that she said she listened to the other day while she was walking. And said the guy said that if, and I may be getting this wrong, but if people in the world had had his parents, there would have been a lot more souls saved because they were Christians. The wisdom of listening to your parents should be a no-brainer. Because as the text tells us, as the book of Proverbs tells us, only the foolish and immature despise wisdom and advice and counsel from their parents. Proverbs 15 and verse 5 says, "Only a fool despises a parent's discipline, Whoever learns from correction is wise. Sometimes some of us need more discipline and correction than others. But there is not only wisdom, there is also the beauty of listening to your parents. As our text told us at the beginning, their wisdom is like graceful jewelry. Our text says from Proverbs 1 and verse 9, the English Standard Version says, "For they are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." The New American Standard Bible says that verse, "For they are a graceful wreath for your head and necklaces for your neck." What he's saying is that they're like accessories to be worn to make one more attractive, beautiful, handsome. And how many times have you looked at parents and you think, they've got some good kids? And how many times have you looked at parents and you go, I'd like to wring your kid's neck. I'd like to have an hour or two with their kids. You see, the proverb writer in his wisdom is saying here that you are to compliment one another. My mother used to tell me that when they were growing up, sitting around the table, and the majority of you will not remember my grandfather Smith, Ollie Smith Sr. You know his son, Ollie Smith Jr., Junior Smith. But my grandfather was bigger than Ollie Smith Jr. He was probably about 6'3 or 6'4 and 300 pounds. He only had two pair of overalls that he wore all the time. He had a pair that he worked in and a pair that he wore to church. And then he had an old white straw fedora hat and smoked a pipe. And she said that when all of those kids would sit around the dining room table for whatever meal they were eating, if they got too rambunctious, he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't get up from the table. He wouldn't reach and grab one of them by the shirt collar. Said he would sit there and he'd go, and so they would sit still. We need our children to listen to us. And children, you need to listen to mom and daddy. You are a compliment to each other. Listen to that. That's what the scripture is telling us. Children, listen to mom and daddy. There's wisdom, there's knowledge, and there's experience in them old gray heads that you can't get along with sometimes and you butt heads with. But when you listen, you become a better child, a better young person, if that's what you want to be called, a better teenager, better young adult. And it makes you more attractive. It makes you more beautiful and more handsome. And children are made more attractive by their parents' wisdom. Adam Clark says of this passage, that is, filial, respect and obedience will be as ornamental to thee as crowns, diadems, and golden chains and pearls to others. He's saying here that obedient children enhance the beauty of the parents. John Gill says, these instructions and laws of parents being attended unto and obeyed by children render them more lovely and amiable than any beautiful ornament, whatever that can be put on their heads. Children who revere their parents by listening to their advice are made more attractive and more appealing to others by such counsel. Let me ask you something, young girls. Maybe you're looking for a fella to date. I'm getting tangled up here. Maybe you're looking for a fella to date. What are you looking for? Looking for, and I'm going to throw a name out that you probably won't know, but a James Dean type of fellow, the rebellious leather jacket type of guy, the cool guy with a muscle car. You know, he's probably also the one that rebelled against his mom and daddy. And he's probably going to be the one that convinces you maybe to take a drink, smoke your first cigarette, smoke your first joint, go out and get drunk, go out and get pregnant before you get married. Is that what you're looking for? And what about you, young men? Are you looking for that type of girl? I heard about a sermon one time where the preacher had young men lined up on the front two pews. And he was preaching a lesson about young people. And he had two roses. And he went down here to the end of the pew with the first rose, and he told all of them to take it, hold it, smell it, feel the petals on the rose. And when he got down to the end of them, he held them up and he said, "Now, which one do you want?" And all of them wanted the one that hadn't been touched by anybody. Do you get the picture here? A Christian young woman and a Christian young man is going to be better, more desirable than somebody that has been worldly growing up. Listen to your mama and daddy, young people. And then we need to compare the ugliness of parental disrespect. King Agur expressed this, and a lot of children don't honor their parents. He says in Proverbs 30 and verse 1, the words of Agur, the son of Jaca, his utterance, "This man declared to Ithiel and Ucal." In verse 11, it says, "There is a generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother." That's a complete opposite of what our beginning text told us. Listen to the instruction of your father. Listen to the guidance of your mother. But way back at the writing of Proverbs, he described what's happening in 2021. A generation that curses its father and does not bless its mother. The Proverbs warn about how tragic the end is for those who dishonor their parents. Proverbs 30, verse 17, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns disobedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." The vultures is what he's talking about. Birds of scavenging. They're going to eat your bones, pick your bones clean, is what he's saying. Proverbs 20 and verse 20, "Whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." There's no hope as long as you're rebellious to your mom and daddy. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16 says, "Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." And all the people shall say, "Amen." The penalty for cursing parents was death in the Old Testament. Leviticus 20 and verse 9, "Everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." And the penalty for being a rebellious son was just the same. Deuteronomy 21, beginning in verse 18, "If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened or disciplined him, will not heed or listen to them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, 'This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard.' Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, all and all Israel shall hear and fear." You hear what the Word of God describes as a rebellious child? It's sinful. To rebel against your mom and daddy is sinful. So what we need to learn from this point is that children who do not honor their parents, did not honor their parents, were harshly judged by God in the Old Testament times. God put them to death. Aren't you glad we live in the New Testament? That we're under the New Testament, no longer under the Old Testament times? And fortunately, we do live under the new law, the law of Christ. But Paul says in Romans 2, beginning in verse 4, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. There's a time coming. There's a time coming where despising God's mercy will eventually be called into account. You see, even though we don't live under the old law, the law of Christ still expects children to be respectful to their parents. The law of Christ expects children to obey and honor them. Ephesians 6, verses 1 and 2. He says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, listen to the word of God. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. He's not talking about little bitty ones only. He's talking about those that look eye to eye with mom and daddy, who have more consequence, more skin in the game, I guess you might say. But you know, even Jesus honored his earthly parents. In Luke 2, verses 51 and 52, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men, his mom and daddy. We need to note that as Jesus increased in wisdom, he also grew in favor with God and men. His own example shows us the truth of our lesson that we've looked at today, of what's written in the Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. I pray that wisdom, the wisdom from your own parents that you have written on your heart, the knowledge, the experience, the wisdom that you have gained from your mom and daddy, that you're writing it down. One of these days, young people, you're going to wish I had written things down. Maybe not physically on a pen and paper, but right here. There's going to come a day where you're not going to have mom and daddy to talk to and ask that question. If you don't believe me, ask some of these other folks here that no longer have a mom and daddy. Ask them how much they would love to talk to them right now, and ask them a question and say, do you remember? Or how do I cope with this problem or this trial or this temptation? I beg you, listen now. I pray that you'll listen now, because there is wisdom in godly parents. There's knowledge, there's experience that you need to be taking to heart right now. And part of that